Welcome back to Pax Europiana, to the podcast about peace in Europe. And now I would like to discuss about the 8th of March, a very important day in European history, a day which is the International Women's Day. Congratulations for all women in the world and for everybody in the world, because of the great progress we have had also in the last 100 years about women's rights and equal rights of women. And women have made in one specific year, in the year 1917, a huge impact on world history. And that is what I would like to talk on this special day about, the 1917 International Women's Day in Russia, in Petrograd. And the 8th of March, always think about it, is the day for Russian democracy. It's the day that one day there will be a real democracy in Russia. And it all started in 1917 on the Women's March Day in St. Petersburg. This was after the most terrible winter, 1916-17, where already hunger and unemployment, crisis, war-related inflation was sparking a huge inflationary spiral. And the cost of bread was extremely high already in Petersburg. The supply situation was very difficult. And as it was all the time already since the start of the war of Russia was going extremely badly. Russia entered this war and partly started this war. Let's not forget, it is very much a Russian-Austrian war about the Balkans and about the Bosporus. That's also one important element of the World War I, which is now in a very Western-centric kind of narrative of the World War I, obviously with the much bigger battles between the French, British and the Germans in the Western Front, but they were just a kind of a geostrategic consequence of this Russian and Austrian brinkmanship in the Balkans, and especially the Russian design on the straits, and also the Russian designs to inherit Constantinople from the failing Turkish Empire. All these kind of temptations, which were extremely strong after the 1907 economic crisis, the global financial crisis of 1907, the emerging debt market crisis, the consequent Young Turk revolutions, and basically the whole Balkans and Libya and Turkey everywhere in complete uproar, and a lot of the Balkan wars, the first and the second, the Libyan wars of the Italians, and the intervention of the Italians in the Levant, in the Middle East, basically the naval interventions and in Greece, and so on and so on. So in some aspects, some of the Russian decision makers might be understandable, if not ever excused, they should never, for the temptations they all had to inherit Constantinople, their great design, the famous Greek project of Catherine the Great. They wanted to have, obviously, the access to the Mediterranean, the access to the sea. And they actually didn't have it, because Turkey, by more or less coincidence of power logic and internal kind of fight for the Turkey as an ally, and the Germans winning, Turkey joining on the German side in the World War I, and the moment Turkey joined, the Bosporus was closed. And very much the March Revolution, it's called, was a consequence of the closing of the Bosporus. Because for 2 years, the most important access point of the Ukrainian farm and the Russian farm products was closed for the Russian fleet. And that was, of course, a major economic crisis. It's the stranglehold of Russia. And also the Baltic fleet, obviously, and the Baltic transport shipping lanes were closed because of the geography and the alliance system. So Russia was very much cut off. And that technology, the northern ports of Russia were by far not developed. And also the internal logistical system of railways was by far not so developed to easily shift the supply system of Russia away from the south and from the center towards the north. And the consequent economic crisis and the consequent political and military defeat was just a question of timing. And everybody knew that Russia was a very complicated case as an ally and as an enemy. So the efforts of the British to undermine, to keep the Tsar in power and as an ally, and the efforts of the Germans to undermine the Russian system, they were huge. Because Russia was already in a big political crisis since the Russian-Japanese War, since 1904 and 5, since the big defeat against Japan and the consequent social and military disasters. And this was really a crisis state, kind of, you know, you cannot, in the instability of Russia was a major problem for the global political system. And Russia, as many fragile big powers do, tried to export its problems to its neighborhood and hope with military victories, first against Japan and then against Turkey, the Ottomans, it could somehow create more unity and the kind of outside success will heal the wounds of the internal political failed system, but it was not to be. And it all came to an escalation on the 8th of March 1917 at the International Women's Day, when the hungry family mothers and women of who were already taking a lot of work in the ammunition and in the economy, because millions of Russians were at the front and dying for a war where the real reason for it was less and less visible. But what was very visible was that it was completely impossible to win it. Obviously, against Austria, an even more incompetent power than Russia, it was possible to have some successes. But against the German Imperial Army, there was only defeats, consequent everywhere defeats. So also Russia could defeat significantly the Ottoman army and was already deeply into Anatolia at that stage. But the victories against a very incompetent Austria and a very incompetent Ottoman army, which were similar countries without real money, without real industry, without a real kind of capacity to wage a war so long, and also obviously very dependent on the same kind of international shipping access, which was already blocked. And they were all incompetent and they faded away by this struggle. And they should have never entered it from the beginning, knowing their own fragilities. Neither Austria and Hungary, nor the Ottoman Turks, nor the Russians were prepared for such a terrible conflict. Yeah? And it was a complete disaster. And the smart women of Petersburg, they knew it, and they made this revolution. And it was the real Russian Revolution. Because later, unfortunately, this Russian democracy, which had a huge geostrategic implication, because it was also the one moment with more democratic Russia, which also convinced Wilson, the president of the US, to enter the war in April 1917. Because it is very important to understand his psychological setup. Without this democratic revolution in Russia, it would have been extremely difficult to get him into signing the declaration of war, because to be seen as an ally of Tsarist Russia was really very much against everything Wilson believed in. And once the Tsar was then gone, he abdicated some days later, and then the road was there for American participation in the war, and also for America trying to keep Russia in the war. I will talk about that later. But also for the American entry into the war, which was the decisive element to win the First World War. Again, it is also often underreported and misunderstood. Of course, you know, the millions, about 2 million American men fighting in the Western Front was decisive in 1918 for winning and also defeating the German army at the front. But even more decisive was the enormous logistical supply system America could deploy, and even more important than the manpower, and even more important than the enormous industrial logistical effort of the Americans to on the side of the Western Allies, was the financial system. It is the financial which could be fastest deployed, and it was the financial system which mattered the most, because Britain was already totally financing the Russian and the French war effort and all the smaller allies. But also Britain was running out of money by the spring of 1917. And then the American fiscal superpower at that stage could basically fund the Western victory. And that was only possible that America took all this obligation because of the Russian step towards democracy. This is a hugely important revolution on the 8th of March, the Russian Democratic Revolution. And unfortunately, it all derailed because the Germans put this agent Lenin on the train in April and funded him so heavily in order to box him into power and Russia out of the war. And this is actually then also what happened. And to this day, obviously, his coup d'etat later in November is now celebrated as the Russian Revolution by all the communists and all the believers in Russian communism and fans of Lenin and all these kind of people who are believing his fake narrative. There was no real revolution. It was a coup d'etat. It was a kind of a military takeover by this armed criminal gang of the Bolsheviks in November, who basically stole the real democratic revolution from the Russian people and then imposed this century-long disaster on everybody, mostly on the Russians, because the Russians were, and the Russian citizens and all the people living in the Russian Empire and in the Soviet Union, they were the prime victims of all this brutality unleashed by the Bolsheviks. But yes, it was an absolute disaster of historic dimensions, and nothing good is coming out of this October so-called revolution, in reality a terrorist coup d'etat. But let's focus on the 8th of March in this podcast and on the powerful union or mobilization of Russian women, which were at this stage already in the second year of, in the second full year, 2.5 years of war. And it was going so badly and the economic consequences were so harsh for the families. Yeah? And a very tough winter as well in 16 to 17, leading many of them to protest. And that also was the underlying moment of the world history, that the International Women's Day has led to this Russian Democratic February Revolution. Just to explain, it's in February in the Russian calendar, in the old Russian calendar, and it's March, the 8th of March, in the global standard calendar today. And that's why every day when you are now thinking about the 8th of March, International Women's Day, also spare a moment and think about the brave women of St. Petersburg who really toppled the Tsarist regime and also set all these so enormous events into motion, leading to America's entry into the war, the abdication of the Romanov dynasty after 300 years in power, and also about the whole tragic events later, with Lenin taking doing this coup d'etat and erecting this terrible dictatorship of the Soviet Union. Why it actually happened and why this October, this February Revolution was not so successfully and is now widely forgotten in the world conscious, which is a pity, because it should be also as a symbol living on today for the spirit of Russian democracy. And one day, I will not be sure if it will be led by Navalny or not, but one day there will be a real Russian democracy after Putin. There will be a free federal Russia in the spirit of the 8th of March again. I'm confident. I'm absolutely sure. And the world will be a much better place if we remember again the spirit of the 8th of March, and we and the Russians will live in peace and harmony, very successfully, economically aligned, politically aligned with a free federal Russia, also part of the free world. That's absolutely possible. There was already the road to it on the 8th of March, but unfortunately the vexed question of Russian continuation of the failed war was leading then to the both camps of the World War II, the Germans on the one hand and the Western Allies on the other, to really try with all means either to keep Russia in the war or make sure that Russia leaves the war, because the stakes were huge. As it then later happened when Lenin took power in 1918, the Imperial German Army could redirect all its forces from the Eastern Front to the Western Front, and obviously launched this terrible spring offensive in 1918, which was a huge waste of money and life, and a million people died in this terrible offensive, while at that stage anyhow it was already lost, the war. But these illusions of being close to winning has led the German high command to risk another million of men and send them to the deaths on the western battlefields, and in my view, an absolutely unforgivable crime of this war criminal Ludendorff, and the commander-in-chief or the chief of staff. But in many ways, he was the mastermind of this terrible deed, already a lost war, and then to commit all the remaining forces in a desperate gamble on the Western Front, famously or notoriously named the Kaiserschlacht, a complete disaster, and leading then also by the emerging American power in the continent to a complete bleeding out of the German army, and then to complete defeat in November. Call the armistice in order to have a quick settlement. And that has also led to a lot of negative consequences because it was a complete defeat. And it was a complete defeat, and well deservedly so, because the Germans should have wisely never intervened from the beginning in this Russian-Austrian confrontation of two failed states with megalomaniac kind of ambitions far beyond the industrial and fiscal potential. That is, I think, the right view to see the World War One and its start. Whenever there is also many things to say about that one. But in this one here about the 8th of March, I want to focus about the heroism and also the stamina of the Russian women of the 8th of March of 1917, and they have to deserved more recognition, and their contribution must be honored. Unfortunately, socialist legend and mythical narratives have somehow erased their memory out of global consciousness. And that's really a big pity. And they have deserved this role in the world. And I hope a similar kind of moments will come in the future, where the Russian women no longer accept the kleptocracy which is imposed by Putin on them today. As we see already in Belarus, Russian and Belarusian women are really a powerful force also in politics, and they take their destiny into their hand and are ready for protests and revolutions, and they were the real driver of that. There was not such a political leadership. Yeah? That was maybe also a problem, because the many different factions after the February revolutions were so deeply divided, and there was no key leader to emerge. Kerensky and Lvov, they were all partly incompetent, and the task of reforming Russia was far beyond them. there was no Witte or Stolypin around to this kind of caliber of Russian statesman to lead Russia into democracy. And the issue of the war, and Kerensky then under Western pressure continued the war and led one more completely failed offensive, which goes into history as the Kerensky offensive, in the summer of 1918, and it was complete failure as well. And so it is now then leading to the complete, in the summer of 1917, to make it sure, because then already in the spring of 1918, the whole system broke down completely once Lenin did his several coup d'etats. He had actually several coup d'etats. The most important was actually in January 1918, when he took power after the elections to the Constituent Assembly. He didn't like the results. He disbanded the Constituent Assembly in January 1918. And so from one coup d'etat to the next coup d'etat, and obviously then to the Civil War, it was a straight line. But it could have been different. It could have been different. A democratic free Russia was possible in March 1917, and it is a really tragic situation that it never happened. And to this day, Russia, unfortunately, is only a fake democracy. There was another chance in 1991 and with Yeltsin, but also Yeltsin was deeply flawed actor in many ways, with his confrontation with parliament in 93 and also the problematic elections of 96. So Russia has really quite a dramatic history. And to have one day in the global, in the yearly calendar to talk and to think about Russian democratization, I think it's very important. Obviously, on the 8th of March is the ideal day for that, the day for Russian democracy, for democratization of Russia. Imagine what it would mean for the world if that huge country, it's not so many people anymore, 140 million, it's just one-tenth of China or India, but it's a huge landmass, and it's a very aggressive power. It was during the Russian Empire, and it was in the form of the Soviet Union. And now with Putin's Russia again, it's the third incarnation of Russia, again extremely kind of chauvinistic, revanchist, international actor, full bent on aggression. And imagine if there would be first time a female president in Russia. That would be something, imagine. It would be some real democracy, Russia. Well, how good the world would be and how much more development there would be in the world with this kind of transformation of Russia into a real democracy. And every 8th of March, we should think about the heroism of the Russian women, about their sacrifice on that day. It turned out to be a very difficult revolution. It didn't work out fully. Some men stole their revolution, and in the ensuing power struggle, everything went downhill. But one day there will be a Russian democracy, and maybe also a female prime minister, a female president, female parliamentarians, and a real kind of free Russia will be. And that's wonderful. I'm optimist for Russia, but it will be taking a long time still. Anyhow, think about the 8th of March, and the real Russian Revolution. Think about the powerful women of Russia who went into the streets in Petersburg. And we have all to work for freedom of the Russians every 8th of March. Think, read, look, learn about the Russian Revolution, the real one, and don't believe the fake narratives of Bolshevism and their story about the October Revolution, which was in reality a coup d'etat of a terrorist group, the Bolsheviks. Thanks a lot for listening.